You're listening to the Barry Egan Tapes on News Talk. I'm Barry Egan from the Sunday Independent, and I'm talking with Dathi O'Shea. Dathi, your father is dead 5 years now. Does the distance give you any more perspective?
I think that, you know, the longer he's gone, the more perspective I get on the whole thing. I think when it happens in the beginning, you focus on other people, particularly, I suppose, at the time, my mother, because I was there and Rita was there when he was passing away, when he was drawing his last breath, and my mother was holding his hand. He was on a chair, and I was trying to wake him up, and I put my hand on his arm, and it was this very strange, eerie cold that I'd never felt before in my life. He was just drawing a breath, his last one or two breaths, and I was trying to wake him. So obviously, if you want, his spirit had gone, but his body was just processing whatever last few breaths he had inside him. So he was on the reclining chair with one shoe on, didn't manage to get the other one. So that's how fast he passed away. We were joking after, my father was always in a rush going places, and he made no exception with this journey either.
The biggest journey of his life.
The biggest journey he was going with one shoe on. But I remember we were trying to lay him down on the ground, and Rita was picking his legs. I said, Rita, just go away, you're pregnant, you know, get away. So my mother came in to lift his kind of legs. I took the upper part of him to put him down, and we started CPR. So I was doing CPR in him, but it was fairly obvious that he had passed away, but my mother was still holding his hand. So I remember looking up into my mother's eyes and saying, Mom, I think he's gone. So then the paramedics had come out then at that stage to take over what I was doing, because they were on the phone to me telling me what to do. But I think he had passed away.
Yeah. Did you have conversations with him before he died? I know you didn't know he was ill.
No, certainly not. No.
Did you go to the pub a couple of days before?
We went to the pub the evening before, because he had these spots on his lungs, you know, and we were getting all these kind of different kind of, look, to be honest, my father knew the whole story. My mother was in America when the father was getting the story, and my father didn't pass the whole thing on to my mother, so she wouldn't realise what the story was, but he knew exactly what was happening. So the evening, I'd done the roads of Tralee, I'd gone back up to Galway, and Rita and I were coming down. We were picking my father and mother up in Sidon, the hospital in Tralee.
Hadn't he had a bit of good news?
That evening, yeah. Okay. So we went for coffee after that. I still have the receipt of that coffee, McDonald's coffee, inside my wash bag that I carry around with me all the time. And we came home. My father was just in great form. And he said, look, will we go for 2 pints? So Rita and my mother went kind of around town, and my father and I sat down, and he played music in Fergus Flaherty's pub in Dingle, a great spot, for about 40 years with the man of the house. And he was never there. He was never there that evening, right, on the Wednesday evening. I think it was Wednesday evening. And he happened to be there. So we all sat down, we had a few pints. We laughed through the whole thing. And I went to bed that evening, and I said to Rita, I said, geez, you know what, Rita, I think this is good now. Things are great, like, and father's in good old form and everything. And we all just went to sleep because we'd been through a lot, and we kind of thought we got a bit of good news, you know. But yeah, he took sausages out of the fridge, put them on the table, got one shoe on, and that was it. So, but it was fantastic that we had that, though, that we were there for the evening before, having a few handy pints, and he was laughing, and he was in great form. And but I suppose back to your original question, Barry, yeah, at the time you're worrying about everyone, you're worrying about your mother being at home, you're worried about this person, that person. And as you go along, I think I'm like lots of other people that, yeah, I wish I'd have spent more time at home.
You would have said to
Yeah, you. That kind of stuff. But we weren't really like that either. We were never really a family, like, who told each other we loved each other or anything.
Was there an Irish family like that?
I know, that's the thing. Like, say, for example, Rita's family now, my God, like, say, Rita's brothers, 3 brothers are in America, and her mom and dad. And she texts those 5 people probably, I'd say, maybe about 10 times each a day. Whereas the last time I spoke to my brother, Danny, was 2 months ago when he had a tip for a horse. And then I met him at Christmas for a pint. Well, it was a good few pints, actually. And that's the way we are.
But isn't that how we communicate?
But that's how we communicate. But you know, Rita says to me, is that okay? But that's what we do. As in, I never even thought about this until I saw the way Rita interacts with her family all the time. And then, are we missing out on anything? No. That's just the way we are.
But still, what was there? Was there some GAA game and it was lashing rain and you had a few drinks and you went to the grave?
Oh, that was... Yeah, it was after the Kerry-Dublin semi-final 5 years ago. And we were... I think it was the month's mind, actually. And we had a...
Were you crying on the grave?
Or? Oh, we were bawling crying, the two of us. We were drunk, like, yeah. My brother and I were drunk. And we decided it'd be a good idea to stop in to tell my father up at his grave about the match. And when we went up there, it started pissing rain down on top of the two of us, and we were bawling, crying, telling the old fellow about the match. But do you know what? We look back at it now and we laugh. But obviously at the time, we thought it was a good idea, like lots of other good ideas when you have a good few pints on you.
Part of the healing process the grieving process.
Of course it's part of the healing and the grieving process. And there's no point in shying away from that. I think for years and centuries, I suppose, Irish men maybe would have said, that's a tall shit, I'm a tough fella, I don't need to deal with this old BS or whatever. That's not like that at all.
Are you a tough fella?
Not at all. Like, I'm tough when I want to be, I think, but when it comes to family and so on, they're my first priority. That's it. So am I tough? Would I do anything to guard Rita and my son and my mother? I would, like, you know, if any fella came into my house, like, you know, he better be ready, like, because he's going to get it.
Yeah.
And that's the way I'd be. And I'd be very practical like that. But sure, I was Rita and Michal, they were in America. We all went over in June. And I wasn't really supposed to go back over again. They were supposed to come home. And then Michal said to me one day on WhatsApp saying, Daddy, I couldn't eat my breakfast this morning. I was crying because I missed you so much. So as he was finishing that sentence, I was on booking a flight over to America for the following week.
But at least you've passed on your emotional intelligence to your son in a way that maybe your dad wasn't able to with you.
Yeah, I suppose. And my dad would have been very, very typical of lots of other dads as well. And I think dads today are a lot different to dads back then. But that's the way they were, you see. And you have to take them for what they were and what society was at the time as well. And I firmly believe that because it was always my mother who minded the kids. Say if when we were younger, because my father was out working, and it's too easy to say about other dads of my father's generation. They were gone all the time. Yeah, they were gone all the time because they were working very hard for us. My father drove a truck for 6 days a week during the summer, five during the winter, and played music a few nights a week as well to make money. So this whole thing is, dads weren't around. Do you know what? They were out working. They were doing a very, very hard job. And people forget that now. Because what we have is,
is this what you say to Rita?
No.
when you're away all the time working.
But see, the thing is, and the reality of it, Barry, is that if I don't go working, what's going to pay the mortgage?
Yeah.
You know, so I think we have been very hard on my father's generation of dads. But I think when you look in hindsight, and again, I wouldn't have really copped this until Michal came along. And said, hang on a sec, my father did the same thing for me. So did I appreciate that when I was growing up? Not at all. Not at all.
What was your relationship like with him?
I should we all got on inside in the house and that was it. Like we went for a few pints.
Did you go for a drink with him when you were not legally allowed?
Yeah, that's right. And actually I had a vote when I was 17 as well because we were up at the local pub and when you were 17 that time.
Who did you vote for?
I'm not really too sure who I vote for. My father probably made me vote for Labour, but my mother comes from a Fianna Fáil camp, so I'd be somewhere in and around that at the time, you know. But like say, I was 17. The fellow behind the bar asked me what age you. He said, I said I'm 18. And then the woman who was actually, she said you're good, you're old enough to vote. And I said, yeah, I'm of course. Thinking, oh my God, a kid, what am I going to do here? But anyway, I had a vote when I was 17. But like people talk about drinking these days, which is another topic altogether. And like I said, my father never drank at home. My father used to go to the pub and have a few pints to talk to people more so than the drinking part of it. Like he worked in the pubs as a musician as well, playing. That was a different thing. But like I said, we kind of knew how to drink growing up, Barry.
How do you drink?
Sociably and at a nice handy pace, you know. Like there was no such thing as going down swigging bottles of vodka before you go out. We were taught how to drink.
So being drunk on top of a grave crying is sensible, is it?
I was in my late 30s at the time. But
before you were at Rita, were you out having a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time. I had a great time, yeah.
Were you a mad drinker?
Not really. I drank a good bit, I suppose, like everyone else. Now, that doesn't answer your question. Did I ever miss a day's work because of drink? No. Did I go to work hungover? Yes. Did it affect my work? Possibly.
Did you ever wake up with someone and wonder who they were?
Or who they were?
Or who you were?
I often woke up thinking who I was. Right. But I was never in a fight in my life. I was never actually in a physical fist fight in my life. When I was out drinking, I never raised my voice to anyone. I was a fellow who had a good few pints and went home to sleep. And that was it. And I was quite happy with
that. But you were a bit of a sex symbol. Did you ever use that sex symbol
status? No, I didn't. To be honest, I didn't.
Did you go around and go, hey, I'm a sex symbol?
Well, I was going to get a big medallion, right, and hang it up. But I said, no, I wouldn't. Listen, I had a mother and father at home who kind of said, look, by a pat in the back of 6 inches from a kick up the arse, you know, and don't forget that.
Yeah.
So,
have you applied that to your career?
You have to. You have to. And you're as good as your last gig. Say, like the Rose of Tralee. People say, you have that forever. I don't. I get that on a yearly basis. So, like I said, hopefully they'll all say that I did a good job this year. They'll have a meeting in before Christmas and say, oh yeah, we'll give it to him again. So that's how it works. So that keeps me on my toes. And I think it's a good way to keep you grounded as well. Like, I don't know, like, say, all it takes is one person inside an RT to say, do you know what, your man, though, yeah, I think we've kind of had enough of him now.